Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you or introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every single Sunday, I get the opportunity to speak, and I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name, and just so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us doing exactly that. And we get the opportunity today to continue our Set Free series today. This is actually part 6 of this series. I know a lot of you have been counting, but we are talking today about what it looks like to walk in authority over the things that we've been set free from. But sometimes we, as Pittsburghers, Mon Valleyers, we like to pick up our stuff again. And it's because we like our stuff. We like stuff. And I've actually discovered over this last few weeks that I might write a book, and it's called Everybody Got Stuff. It's in relation to the book Everybody Poops. It's kind of along the same lines. But anyways, we're going to talk a lot about what it looks like to get rid of that stuff and to walk in a term called sonship. Now you're like, wait a second, I'm a daughter. Yes, there's daughtership as well, but sonship is the biblical term. So some of the ways that we do that is to go to what we call Victory and Freedom. Victory and Freedom weekends are coming out March 7th and 8th. We want you to sign up for this. We want you to attend. It's going to fill up, and then I'm going to get a call afterwards like, hey, it's filled, but can I still go? No, because I've been talking about it since the beginning of February, and you didn't sign up when I told you to. So Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Get signed up for it. This is what Victory and Freedom is. It is an opportunity for you to identify and get free from your stuff. It's like clean. How many of you have a garage? I'm going to get everybody to raise your hand. How many of you have a garage? How many of you have a basement? Keep your hand up if you have a garage. How many of you have a basement? How many of you have a junk drawer? How many of you have a closet? How many of you have a bin that's been filled up with junk for way too long? Everybody's hand should be up. Listen, we have stuff. Some of it we've collected for far too long and we need to get rid of it. Some of it's stuff we've done. Some of it's stuff that's been done to us. But a lot of the stuff is stuff that we aren't called to carry anymore. It's called to get put at the foot of the cross. Foot of the cross. Victory and Freedom helps us discover those things. Be reminded of those things and get rid of those things. And then after Victory and Freedom, we have this thing called PMT, personal ministry time, because Victory and Freedom isn't always enough. There's more. And this is a time where you get really into the nitty gritty. This is like you cleaned out your garage and now it's time to put like a nice new floor in. What's that flooring called? Poly, like you poly the floor, polyurethane. Is that it? Epoxy. Thank you, sir. Do you know how to do it? It's my basement. Where's Makuga at? I know he knows how to do it. He got all the stuff. Epoxy. It's like PMT is like the epoxy of the basement floor, the garage floor. You're getting like really into it. Personal ministry time is where you really identify all the stuff. And you're like, well, I already know all my stuff. Yes, you do. But this helps you how to go to war against it, how to battle, how to fight when that stuff creeps in. I know all my stuff. My wife knows all my stuff. But now we know how to fight against that stuff because you're not locked up anymore. Every single week we've been launching out of John 8, specifically verse 36, but we're going to go back a few verses now because there's more. I feel like Steve Jobs. There's more. And that's when he launches the new iPhone every single time he did it. Anyways, here we go. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. Sorry, Liam. You're done with him today. It's all good, man. So, if the son sets you free, you're free, truly free. Anyways, I got all stuck in these papers. I got messed up. Here's the thing today. Are you living like a slave or are you living like a son? This is what we're going to unpack today. This is what we're going to help you understand. Because so many of us are living like a slave. A slave to what? Our past. A slave to what? Our sin. A slave to what? The stuff that's been done to us or the stuff that we've done. A slave to what? A slave to our addictions. A slave to that sin that we just can't get over. That thing that we always run back to that we think makes us feel good. That old stinking thinking. That sin that we always run to. That comfortable place. Listen. I know that when things get shaken in my life, I'm going to get weird. That was what was identified to me in PMT and Victory and Freedom. I didn't have like this huge abandonment scheme or worthlessness scheme. I didn't have those. We made one up. Instability. That was it. When things were unstable in my life, that's when all the schemes get hit. So the enemy always hits that one. If finances are unstable, scheme. If family's unstable, scheme. If your ceiling falls in your dining room and everything's unstable, scheme. Chuck got to see that one. He's like, yo, bro, you all right? It's like, bro, listen, man, this has been 6 weeks of just bloody noses, and I'm tired. He's like, all right, well, we're going to get it done. I was like, I know. We're almost there. We're in the home stretch. When things aren't stable, I need to get around some people that are stable so that they can help me walk through some things. I know that. And that was identified for me years ago. So I want all of us to be understanding of that. These verses that we've read every single week during this series, this is an unbelievable spiritual truth that Jesus is trying to inspire us to walk in this reality. A reality that is totally different than the culture that we live in. The culture wants to keep us locked up. The culture wants us to be a slave to the world. But are we a slave or are we a son? And if we are a son or daughter, are we walking in the authority of that? This is the underpinning of our Christian faith. We have authority, and are we walking in it? Are we walking in the authority of our sonship, of our daughtership? Are we just like, yeah, I know. I know. It's cool. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. I'm going to read the verses and then we're going to unpack what's being said. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave. Though he is the owner of everything, but he is under the guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What is Paul describing here? This was a process in the Roman culture that we look at today as adoption. I'm going to say the Greek word, and you're going to look like, wow, that's a big Greek word. Huthesia. Everybody say it with me, so I'm not the only one saying it, maybe not great. Here we go. You ready? Huthesia. Now, you can go listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again like I did and still think you're saying it incorrectly. Two words put together to form this understanding of adoption. In Roman culture, this understanding of adoption was a powerful thing. Once this person was placed as a son, they attained a certain legal status that gave them rights within the culture. They could speak on behalf of their father. They could speak in authority on behalf of their father. They got rights. They had full access to the estate of the father. They had full access to the inheritance that they received when the adoption was complete. They could not be disinherited. They could not be cut off. Now, I think that this was something that was powerful because they didn't have to be of biological birth. They didn't have, it could be somebody that they just chose. This message is so near and dear to my heart because of what Rachel and I have walked through. A lot of you in this room know Lennon. He's going to celebrate his 7th birthday in 11 days. 7. A lot of you have no idea that Lennon is adopted. It's a beautiful thing that a lot of you have no idea that Lennon's adopted. Why? Because Lennon is our son. Always has been, always will be. We are at every doctor's appointment, in the delivery room, cut the umbilical cord, took him home from the hospital. He's our son. Full inheritance. Stepanovic is his name that he will carry all the days of his life. And he knows when he leaves the house, he's to honor that and honor God. And when he's old enough to leave the house on his own, I will make sure that he knows that he's to return with honor. Because he's going to honor God and honor the last name. Because he's spending my equity, not his. He has a full inheritance, full access to our estate, which, I mean, it's a wonderful lot in McKeesport. It's a lot and a half. Corner lot next to a funeral home. Beautiful estate. Might even own it one day. Believe in big. It's his. He's an heir to that. But you know what else he's an heir to? Because he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. The same inheritance that I have. The same inheritance that Rob Benedetti has, that Elder Matt has. He's going to walk on the same streets of gold that they are. What does this mean to us when we walk in this sonship, this adoption process? You know, prior to salvation, prior to us receiving this acceptance of adoption as a son or a daughter into the family, we're no different than a slave. We had no inheritance. We had no idea that there was one available to us. We hadn't gone through a necessary process to even attain it. We were still under this direction of somebody else that was guiding us and directing us and this authority that was over us, so much so that we could even relate it to the verses that we just read in Galatians. There were guardians and managers over our lives. There were other things in our life that were managing us, that were keeping us from the things that were really going to bring true joy in our life, true purpose in our life. So let's understand what these guardians and managers were in the text that we were reading. Guardians were servants in the household who would manage the children. They would manage their education, their development, their physical care, and getting them to where they needed to be and when they needed to be there. They were the guardian. The managers would be the person that governed over the child's property, oversaw the access that they had to the father's provisions. They would oversee and control the distribution of the father's resources that were available to the child. The guardians and managers were the go-betweens for everything between the child and the father. The child couldn't enjoy any of the blessings that the father had without having to go through the guardian or the manager. You know, I think it's interesting that when we relate this to our own lives, there's so many things in our life that are guardians and managers over our life. There's things spinning in your mind right now. What's keeping me from accessing the Father? Some of us, it's really simple. It's Facebook and Instagram. That's a guardian or manager that's keeping you from accessing the Father. Some of you, it's that addiction. That's a guardian or manager that's keeping you from accessing the Father fully. Some of you, it's that thing you keep running back to. But prior to salvation, we're people that were under direct influence and control of these supernatural guardians and managers in our life, and not the Father. These other things were keeping us from the possessions and the provisions of our Father, our Heavenly Father, God the Father. What are some of the provisions that come from Him? Our joy. That's a provision that comes directly from the Father. Our pleasure, the things that truly bring us pleasure, come from the Father. our peace comes from the Father. That's a provision from Him. That is something that He wants us to possess. He wants us to have. He wants us to walk in. How about this one? Our confidence and our courage. That's a gift from Him. The more we know Him, the more we walk in confidence and courage. I think of a young child trying to do something from the first time, and their dad saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, you got this. Come on, just give it a shot. You got this. And then that child doing it for the first time and then looking up at dad like, I did it. I tell people all the time, I got robbed from teaching Lennon how to ride a bike because he just did it. I didn't get to have that moment where I was running behind him and just, you did it, bud. I was like, well, he's doing it. But I think it was because of the months and months before of just encouraging him and him learning how to do other things and him jumping off of banisters and him doing backflips off the couch. And he was teaching himself in other ways. But when we walk in the provision of the Father, we're enabled to do other things courageously. And you know what? We are going to fail. We're going to fail, but we're going to do it courageously. How about this one? Control, self-control. That's a gift from the Father. That's something He wants us to possess and walk in. He wants to provide us with that. This is a big one. Your sense of purpose. Your sense of purpose. Listen, I'm the campus pastor of the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, but that is not my identity. That can all go away tomorrow, and I'm the son of Jesus still. That can all go away tomorrow. I pray that it doesn't because I believe that I'm called. But if it does, I'm still a son of Jesus. I still have a purpose. He is the one who provides everything in our lives. He sustains us. He provides the satisfaction of our life. This is a combination of our peace and our joy. That's what satisfies us. That's what brings enjoyment in our life. Him. Now let's go the flip side of this. What used to bring all the enjoyment of these things? Can I be real with you? Before Jesus, I used to find peace in the bottom of a 40 bottle. I used to find even more peace in the bottom of the second one. The third one was super peaceful. The fourth one is where I thought joy was. And that was like 3-4 days a week. I was hiding from something. And I got all that out of the way before I was 21 because I met Jesus at 20. And I started early. Because I looked 21 from when I was like 13. Anxiety and freedom from that was found in alcohol as opposed to Him. Pleasure was found other places than Him. It was found in what I thought I wanted. what I thought I needed, what I thought was a desire. That's where I accessed pleasure. I would feel a sense of control and strength and security whenever I would get angry and fight with people. I would try as a young man to attain stability and status and success and satisfaction and purpose through money and possessions as opposed to Him. All these things acted as guardians and managers in my life prior to my adoption date as a son. Now, all of this didn't happen instantaneously when I met Jesus. It didn't. I'll tell you when it happened. I was standing in the back right-hand corner of the North Braddock campus of Bridge City Church. And Pastor Rick was calling up all of the sons of the house. People that were walking in the fullness of understanding the authority and power of being a son. And I'll never forget. I was standing in the back corner. I was like, here we go. He's going to call my name. It's going to happen. Any moment now. He's going to call my name. I'm going to be last. That's it. He's going to call my name last. My name never came that day. And I remember at that moment, God spoke to me and said, Nick, you can be angry at him, or you can inspect yourself and change the things that you know need to be changed. Because you're not walking in the authority of sonship. It was like one of those iron sharpens iron moments. And God was the sharpener. And I went to Pastor Rick after that evening, and I said, please forgive me for not walking in the authority that you've entrusted me with and God's entrusted me with. Please forgive me. I want to go to another level. And he said, I forgive you. Let's do it. And from that moment forward, we've been walking different. And I've been walking in the authority of what it means to be a son of the house. And some guardians and some managers in my life changed. Now, do they visit from time to time? Absolutely, 100%. Do they try to keep me from accessing the pureness and the provisions and the possessions that God wants me to have? Absolutely, 100%. But how do we deal with them? How do we control access from keeping them from accessing the things that God wants us to access? We understand that the adoption's final. The access to the Father is final. We're a part of the family. We're sons and daughters, and nothing can change that. I'll never forget the day that Lennon's adoption was finalized. The judge said, it is finished. And the gavel hit the stand. You know what was finished? The fact that anyone could ever access that he's anything other than a Stepanovic. It's done. All the stuff was done. All your stuff, the day that you became adopted as a son or daughter, is gone. Your salvation gave you full inheritance and full rights and full authority. you get to walk in them. You get to walk in the fact that you're an heir. You're an heir to everything that I'm an heir to. How do you do this? You need to get around some people that are going to remind you every single day who you are. Whether you're a part of a group or you're going to get part of a group. Last week was our group kickoff. Some of you signed up already, and I've gotten great reports of people that have gone to group this week, and the group went great this past week. Some of you haven't yet to sign up for a group because you're afraid. Let me tell you something. Everybody that's ever signed up for a group has been afraid to do so, including myself. You know how afraid I was to walk into a room and sit next to Matt Klingensmith, who I think is one of the smartest men in the world? And then I started sitting down with him more and more and more, and then I realized he's not one of the smartest men in the world. He's just a guy who has been sitting at the feet of Jesus and studying the Word of God longer than I was. But I wanted that. I wanted that. And I kept showing up. I kept sitting at the table. And he kept reminding me of my worth. And every once in a while, I get to remind him of his. He had a foundation that was already poured and was already being built upon. Mine had just been poured. But he was ready to help me build. But you know what one of the most beautiful things of the kingdom is? I shared it already. I'm going to share it again. He has the same inheritance I do. And Lennon has the same inheritance he does. And if you're walking in here today and you're like, man, I'm still not a part of a group. I need some people that are going to remind me of who I am and who I'm becoming. And I need some people that are going to help me kick these guardians and managers in my life in the teeth. Sign up for a group because you need some pillars in your life that are going to be strength when you're weak. And you know what? You need to be a pillar in some other people's life whenever they're weak. We're going to start to land the plane here. But before we do, I want to bring the worship team up. I have a few more verses I want to read. Galatians 4, 28 through 30. It says, now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of a promise. But just as at the time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit but the son of the free woman. Listen, we have to send everything that was from our past packing. All the stuff that we carry around from when we were slaves needs to go. There are things that will mock us to try to keep us walking as a slave. It will try to keep us locked up. It will try to keep us from walking as a son. that will try to keep us from walking in the inheritance that we have. That will try to keep us from walking in joy and peace and confidence and courage and purpose. Satisfaction of the enjoyment that the life that Jesus calls us to. But when we receive the adoption into his family, into the kingdom of God, he helps us to reveal things we need to repent of. The cross removes those things, and we get to replace our old thinking with purpose, forgiveness, justification, knowing that we're righteous, and we get to begin this process of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus every single day. So if you're here today and you have not taken your rightful position as a son or daughter, you have not allowed for this adoption process to take place, let today be your day. February 9th, 2025. Let today be the day that you start to walk in the authority of being a son or daughter. So if you don't have a time, a place, where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you'll ever do. And that just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time where I know I became a son or daughter of the King. Don't let this moment pass. The heavens rejoice. It never gets old. Thank you, Jesus. If you raised your hand, people are going to come. They're just going to pray with you, walk you through what the decision you made, because you're not made to walk through that decision alone. You're not made to just stay there. You're made to walk through it, make steps forward. But let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, I thank you for the joy we get to walk in as sons, the inheritance we get to walk in as sons. Lord, I thank you for the completeness in knowing that we're adopted into the family. Lord, I thank you. We praise you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.